but God is good, God. I was thinking this morning, even though Peter didn't say much, Peter said much. He said an awful lot in little things, a few things that he said. And I'm going to just hit a couple of spots. In the first chapter of Peter, in verse 22, it says, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Does it matter? And then the next verse, verse 23, I mean, that was verse before the one that I used a lot of times. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed by the word of God. And which lives and abides forever. In verse 25, for the word of the Lord endures forever, and this is the word which is by the gospel is preached unto you. And then in chapter 2, in verse 2, he says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Does it matter? If so, that be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, in the second chapter, down in verse 8, he says, talking about Christ, he said, he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word. He's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to those who stumble at the word. How many people stumble at the word? How many people stumble at it? The vast majority. I got thinking, you know, Joanne and I have been credited with having a lot to do with a lot of people that were saved, quote. And yet, as we have known salvation and what we have called salvation, in reality, I don't think that we have even really, I mean, maybe a lot of these people are saved and are going to be saved and are going to be in heaven. I don't know. I can't determine it. But it says here, it was in chapter 1. I'm trying to see where it is. Well, I'll tell you what it says. It's in chapter 1 if you look it up. It says, pass your time here, sojourning here, in fear. That's what it says. Pass your time on this earth in fear. And we say, well, but God's love. What do you mean in fear? It's not, you're not sitting here afraid of God. That's not what it's saying. But be afraid of not having the truth and of not obeying what God has asked us to do. I don't walk around in fear. And the reason is because I want the truth and I want to walk in it. And the older I get, the more that I want to. But anyway, in the second chapter of Peter, of 1 Peter, where it said he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to them that stumble at the word, which being disobedient, whereunto there also were appointed. And now, the reason that I brought any of this up is verse 9, because now we're talking about reality. Now we're talking about the thing that God is looking for in a people. He says, you are a chosen generation. Many are called, but few are chosen. You're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. And then the thing that really struck me in the last couple of weeks, a peculiar people. And the objective of this people, that, and this is what you keep listening to the word, this is what you want to be. And it says that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What is light? Light is truth. When Jesus came, it said He was born in sin. He said, I am born, was born in sin to bear witness to the truth. And so that's what He presented in the, you know, in the first chapter of John. But it says, He came to His own and they received Him not. But to as many as did receive Him. Well, they didn't receive what He had to say. And the reason they didn't is because He was bringing the truth and they didn't have it and they didn't want it. Mm-hmm. You follow me?
Yes.
And so He says, talking to us, which in times past were not a people, but now we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I don't usually say this, but I've had a really good time frequently with Clayton. And Clayton made a statement the other day that kind of undid me. And he said, every morning, he says, as I have been waking up, he said, one of the first things I do is I ask God for mercy. And I, you know, I'm going to talk to him more about that because that is kind of the beginning. God have mercy on me. And that puts our spirit in the right position before God. Mm-hmm. And you know what? We've obtained mercy. And we're obtaining mercy. I shouldn't say we have obtained it. We are obtaining it. We're gaining mercy, and I can feel it. And God is being merciful. He's been being merciful to me. And I'm thankful. In spite of the obstacles.
Referred to the passage there in 1 Peter when he talked about those who stumble at his word. It brought to my mind and thought I'd share. Many years ago, I preached a sermon that I entitled Smashing the Pearl. Let me give you a little bit of a rundown of what it was. You know, the way a pearl gets formed in an oyster, a little grain of sand gets in there and it irritates the oyster, so it puts this pearl material around the grain of sand to make it a little more comfortable, and it keeps developing and you get a pearl, you know. And I thought that described pretty well what we do with the word.
Yeah.
You know?
Good.
It irritates, you know? It scratches in a way, places that we don't want to get scratched, you know? And so we covered up, you know, we put this pearl stuff around it, you know? And make it so we can live with it. And, oh, that's no good. Oh, you know, I'm describing my... I don't know if I'm describing you. I'm describing me. My reaction to the stuff that would cause a stumbling at the word. You know? And the exhortation I gave at the... in that sermon that I preached, whenever it was, I don't know, was that we need to smash that pearl. You know, take a hammer and bust it. busted. You know? So that we don't learn to tolerate the stuff that's really hard to tolerate there in the Bible. Have it go ahead and scratch us. Scratch. And not make it tolerable. Have it do what it's supposed to do. Not, you know. You know. Anyway, it is kind of stumbling. That reaction is a kind of stumbling, I think. You know? When you put that really irritated portion of the grain of sand, when you kind of smooth it out in that way, that's a backdoor stumbling, and we must not do it. We must let the word do what it's designed to do. So.
I can get through this first part. I was up front praying, and I realized that there's a void. And I think it really hit me this morning. But what came is I want to pray. And Lord, you've ushered a loved one from our presence. Oh, but I pray you fill that void with your Spirit.
Yes.
With your word and with your truth.
Yes.
And especially for Keith. Mm-hmm. But I sat there and looked, you know, forward, and there's a familiar head that isn't there. But God can do something with this.
Yes.
And he is already, you know, but so anyway, that's just where I was. And I think Wednesday, when we had our meeting, must have proclaimed something that didn't make somebody too happy. We were discussing, you know, the Holy Spirit and having his presence and wanting his presence in us and everything, you know. And I stated that I realized that I think a lot of the time I was praying, I was just praying, you know, yeah, give us your Holy Spirit, da-da-da, you know. And not that that's bad. It was, you know, I'm not making light of that. But all of a sudden, sitting there, I thought, no, I want the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, and I'm repeating a little what some of the guys already heard, but I want the Holy Spirit. I want him in my life. I want to walk in the Holy Spirit. And I got challenged. But instead of getting kind of feeling guilty and you know, letting the devil take me where he'd like to, he didn't. Because in my weakness, Jesus Christ is my strength.
Yes.
And I had a little weakness, but that's done with. It's washed clean again, you know. And it's, I kind of saw, yeah, I think we're stirring the kettle. You know, I think we're starting to have an effect on the enemy. And maybe just by, you know, it's not that he has foreknowledge and stuff, but you know, he's so very intelligent, actually, that he can kind of see where different things have happened in the past, and he kind of learns to look for those signals in God's people. You know, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I think that's how he picks up on stuff, you know. And when he sees some of that starting to happen, he wants to try to make an aggressive move to stop it, of course. Well, he's not going to, you know, because God's going to do what he's going to do. And I happened to sit next to somebody yesterday at the funeral for Charlie, and it's interesting, you know. It's hard to not have intellect. It's just hard not to think you should be doing something to gain more, you know, of truth or whatever. And I didn't say anything, you know. It's just, I mean, a lot of the church world, that's where they're at. But I think that's going to change for the ones that want it. For the ones that want to have milk as a babe, you know, to mature in the Word of God and to receive truth. And I was thinking, yeah, I wonder how it would have went over if I said, well, not one bit of intelligence will get you to heaven. But I didn't say that. But I still feel that strongly. If we believe what Jesus said what was said in John from Jesus, you know, if you keep reading that, it becomes very evident that the Holy Spirit's the only one that's going to give you truth. I mean, and that's just it. And so how does that happen? Well, it doesn't happen through your mind. I mean, it may affect your mind to think in ways that are good and of the Lord, but it's not going to come about in your mind. It's going to come about when he puts it into your spirit and your soul, you know, and creates a spiritual mind. But that mind is not what's operating in this world. You know, that's what I'm beginning to find out. And not much of it. And I wish a lot more of it was operating. But anyway, so be encouraged. Because God's grace and mercy is going to start having his fruit. You know? And he's going to start... let's say he's going to continue giving if we stay in that mode of a little child. He is going to keep giving truth and mercy, grace by his word.
I was sharing a little bit on Wednesday. I don't know if you guys picked it up or remember, but you know, I get up here and talk and say things, you know, but I feel in myself, I feel that I need to believe more what I hear in the Word. I don't know if it's believe more or really believe it. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm confessing or if I'm picking on me or what. But I know that I'm, whatever it might look like, if you guys even consider myself in thinking ever about me, I'm less than what you think I am. And I need to work on that. I need to work on that. I don't know. It's just I need to work on my faith, on my belief, or This just, this, I don't know if it's the enemy. I don't know. I'm trying to make myself clear, but that's all I can say with words. Anyways, about the Holy Spirit, yes, you know, I do pray about the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit, and at night, you know, I've had issues trying to sleep. You know, and lately, actually, you know, I lay in bed and, you know, I start praying, you know, Father, and next thing I know, I'm done praying, I'm sleeping, so I'm sleeping good. So that's good. Anyways, about the Spirit, you know, actually before that, I was praying for myself on some, I don't remember what, you know, and I, you know, Satan, you know, stop it in the name of Jesus. And I did feel something, you know what I mean, but there comes Pablo, you know, with his going back to the Spirit, I was listening to a scripture this week, and you know, I'm working, so this, and, but all of a sudden, like, my ears get sharp, and all of a sudden it's time to pick up attention to this, and just little tiny scripture, and I'm just going to read it. You know, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3:17. Do you not know that you are temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which you are. And, you know, a lot of times we work backwards, you know. We want to, like, clean ourselves so we can come to God. And that's not it, you know. We just come to God as dirty, as nasty as we are. And then God will clean us. And Jesus, God says, you know, I mean, the Word says, you know, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. However, you know, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's no condition in here. There's no if. There's no... Right. You know. However, you know, there's got to be a difference. You know, when the different dwelling, it's a different dwelling of the Spirit. Anyways, my point is, you know, if anyone defiles the temple, and I figured that defile was, you know, dirty, but I looked it up in the dictionary. And yes, it's to have dirty, you know, dirty or bad, you know. I wonder, God wants to give us the Spirit, but He doesn't want us to lose it either after He gives it. And I wonder if He's waiting just a little bit until we're just a little cleaner yet, a little cleaner. Again, you know, God will accept us however, as dirty as we come, and He will clean us later. But I wonder if we should consider this about our the temple of, if we are the temple of God, you know, just keep it clean, keep it holy, you know, everything that's before us, it goes in our bodies, not just with food, but, you know, through our eyes, through our ears, and just think about literally. The temple of God is the temple of God. Would you go in there and start screaming, or would you go in the temple of God and I don't know, talk about things that are not of God? You know what I mean? Just I don't know. I wonder if we should consider this about not defiling the temple of God, because otherwise He will destroy him. So, anyways, I wonder, we need to just maybe pray about that and make an effort and keep ourselves clean. However, Jesus says, now you are clean by the word that I have spoken to you. So, you know, if we just take this word in, just this word, you know, that will keep us from defile, from being defiled. You know, I don't know.
So bear with me for a second. Try to hear all my words. God is good. Amen. All the time. All the time, God is good. There are things that God does that are good that just don't seem too good to us. But it's God, and therefore it's good. Now, we can spend a lot of energy using our intellect to try and figure out why whatever happens, happens is good. But we can walk in faith knowing that whatever happens is good because God has made it so. Keith mentions that Clayton has told him about a habit he's gotten into, and it was encouraging. You know, I thought it was just half the story. Because I think you should probably start every day asking for God's grace and mercy and repenting. You should probably finish every day asking for God's grace and mercy. And then, you know, you can cover the night when you start out in the morning again. This has been, you know, a trying time in the natural. But if you have faith, it's obviously meant for good. It's obviously part of His plan, and it's obviously going to bear fruit at some point. I just don't think we need to try and figure out why or when or how, because that is trying to use our intellect to understand God's plan. I've heard it a couple times, and I think it bears just a little bit of amplification. I've heard people mention a couple times that, you know, the word is like a stone, and that you stumble on it. Well, I guess you could be stumbled by the word. I don't know. If you're stumbled by the word, I think you're trying to figure it out. You're trying to steer a little bit too much. I mean, there are scriptures that are hard. And so someone means I'm stumbling because I can't meet what the scripture says. Okay. But if you're going to spend a lot of time trying to understand what you can't understand because the Spirit hasn't revealed it, well, then you're not really trying to approach it like a little child. You're trying to figure it out. And I'll come back to if you have enough of God's understanding, you know that that's just fruitless. It's not what He wants us to be doing. You know, I spend a lot of time trying to be and do and make choices so that I can gain more truth. I can have more faith, and God can meet me. And He is. Not the way I would like Him to. Seems to be really slow. Seems to be lots of periods where it doesn't seem like I get to hear from Him the way I'd like to. But God is good all the time. There has got to be a reason why things don't happen the way my brain thinks they should happen. And so I'm going to just go forward knowing that He is in control. And as I've said many times, the best thing I can do is keep me out of the equation and try and get my will to align with his will by my choices. That is the only thing I know I can do to get me closer to him. Now, he can do everything else, and I have faith that he will. It doesn't do anything to resolve the pain or the hurt or the loss or the confusion of what happens as God's plan unfolds in front of us, and it doesn't fit with our natural thinking. It's been, as I said, it's been a really trying period of time. But God has not forsaken me or anybody else. He's just waited. He's waited for me to say, I'm ready to go on with whatever you have for me. And maybe he's given me a little rest to realize that I wasn't ready to make that proclamation because I was still too much into me and not enough into him. And that is my weakness. And that's my daily battle. And you know, we get these moments, these glimmers where the Spirit gives us anointing. We say things and something comes clear. You know, and then we step forward, and then the enemy goes, no, enough of that. You know, it's amazing to me with what we've learned and what God has shown us over the last 20 years and where we came from the previous number of years, you know, and some of you, many more years than I. How really simple his word is if you just take it. Not trying to figure it out. You just accept it. Not trying to justify it. Or not trying to use it as an instruction book. You know, the 12 steps to heaven. You know, because I don't believe it really works that way. It just tells you who he is, who we are, and what we need to do for him to send the Spirit to us. Maybe that is an instruction, I don't know. But it's not, I don't think it's like something you start and stop. It's just something you continually do. You know, we've heard a lot of comments about running the race, ran a good race, run the race. And I get that. I've used that same analogy myself. On this side, we're running the race. We continually run the race. That's all we can do. And if we stand on the fact that we know that God's plan is perfect, that whatever comes along in that plan, if it's troubling to us, we just have to say, that's because I don't understand God's plan yet, because he hasn't revealed that to me. And it's easy to say that, and it's not, you know, things get harder in the natural, and you just do. But I'm going to stand on the fact that God is good all the time. Because otherwise, the enemy is going to get me. Because if I can't accept that and hang on to that through every trial and tribulation I have, then the enemy comes along and he wins. Because now you're taking away from God and you're thinking about self, and you can't be self-righteous if you're worried about how this is impacting you versus how you can go on being more like God. We have gaps. I think back to the last 5 years of my life, and I've got gaps everywhere. That that's what God wants for me. and all I can do is be, with a good heart, accept that and wait for him to reveal how that's going to be to the greater good, to his glory. So it's the same old thing about waiting on God and not trying to think it yourself and trying to give yourself over to him and stand on faith. You know, all these truths that we've been blessed with by knowing, and just trying to get day by day one foot in front of each other and staying on that simple, straight, but very narrow path. I'm amazed at how many things were in the Word that we just never saw. And as we said, well, it wasn't time. God didn't reveal it. A week ago or 2 weeks ago, Shelley asked a question about Jesus was questioning the apostles and asked them, you know, who am I? And they answered, and he says, no, who do you say I am? And Peter says, well, you're the Christ. And Jesus responds and says, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. There are things that are being revealed to us that don't come from flesh and blood, comes from God. I am happy. It's not a very good word because it's not strong enough. My salvation has been put in a position where I believe I can have salvation because of what God has done here, what God has shown this group, and what God allows to happen every Sunday through a body ministry. I hear from all sorts of people, I've seen all sorts of people in different areas, and they all come back and say one consistent thing, which is, this is the only place you can be to let God work through the body. And we've all benefited from that. And if you spend enough time in other places, you realize that God's not moving in places like he moves here. And not because we're anything special, but only because we get up and we testify what God's doing in our lives. Right now in my life, the only thing I can do to explain the gaps and the voids is I know my God has a plan. I know the plan is perfect. And the pain and the anguish that I'm going through in the natural is because I'm just not there yet. Well, he'll get me there. And I take comfort in that.
My comment is, God bless you. The title of the little message that I have to call it, I can't train, but why? Question mark. 24/7. Question. And the thing about it is, the more of the Word that we get in us, the more that we become like the author. The Bible said, be ye holy as I am holy. And there's a number of reasons. See, what happened when I heard a voice, you know, 18, 20 years ago, however long ago it was. Right after I heard it, I was made to know that what I had to do was start to study the Scriptures. But I know the Scriptures. I know the Scriptures. I know, you know, I've had a pretty good understanding over the years. I've been taught well, you know, but taught by the best in the West. And I won't say more about that, but... And so, what would I gain by listening to the Scriptures? And Courtney hit it right on the head. It's not an intellectual thing. It's not even a memorization. It's a word that begins to work inside of us. The washing of the word, the water of the word, it just, it washes, it cleanses us. But the thing about it that is, it caused me to understand why is the scriptures. Beginning with the Psalm of David, back, it's the first of all of the Psalms. Now, blessed is the man whose delight is in the Word of God. And on this Word, does he meditate day and night? Is that 24-7 or is that close? And so, what happens when a man does that? God blesses him. And if you want to be blessed, then let God do it. And we can bless one another, but I tell you what, if God blesses us, that's in a different dimension. And so, what has God done to us? Corky, I have heard the same thing. It's like there are so many people that call this church their home. And one of the reasons is because of what you're saying. Because we have the freedom to tell what's going on in our lives. You know, Pablo got up and said something about his inadequacies and so forth, and I thought, you know what, Pablo, you remind me of a scripture where it says that confess your faults to one another. Mm-hmm. It says that you might be healed, but you know what, more than that, that you might be changed. Gambling on an argument from Ken, I'm going to say, it seems to me like I have more things to change in me now than I did before I started listening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
And I'm teasing, of course. Mm-hmm. But God is doing great things. Mm-hmm. You know, I have some recent things that I can't talk about, or I'll break up, but as time goes by, I will. I won't try it.
Nope, no argument for me anymore. On that issue, you know. No, I know. I know. No, it's true. You'd think after 37 years that you should just about be perfected, you know? And like all of you, I've come to find out I was so far from that. But closer now. Closer now.
We think we are.
Well, yeah. Well, I think we are. I will argue that. At this point. Today. This minute. one thing I... You know, I said I was chatting with the gentleman, but one thing we agreed on, God is definitely in control in this world. You know? And the other thing I just... Real short here. Pablo, when you brought that, that gave me a different perspective, because every time I read that scripture about being the holy temple, and if someone defiles it, God will destroy him. Well, I thought, that's somebody that's trying to defile me and my temple. And it's more that I might defile my temple. And if I do that and continue, he would destroy me, you know? So that put a different perspective on it. But it's kind of what I think all of us have realized that God is doing. He is trying to clean up our temple. You know? Because I know I got areas that need to be touched and dealt with and gotten rid of and whatever, you know? And what better way is there than if the Word convicts you? I mean, that's the pureness of God when the Word is convicting. You know, what better, you know, man can't, you know, man can make attempts to change us, you know. We used to probably make a lot more attempts to change each other than we do now, thank goodness, you know. But I've told people there were things in me that got changed, you know, in the last 5, 6 years, 7 years since Pam and everything, that, and leading up to her, that there was no man was ever going to deal with that in me. I wouldn't have allowed it, you know. But God could do it, and He did it sweetly, gently, you know. Because he knows. He knows each one of us and how He can reach us. And that's what a glorious part of our God is. His love, His long-suffering, patience, you know, long-suffering. But it's, yeah, I don't know. You stop thinking how long it's been. My goodness. Why is it taking that? You know? Because I am who I am, you know, and but I'm it just, you know, and I've gotten kind of hit with a little bit, like, well, you know, you keep thinking, and of course now this is obviously the enemy speaking, you keep thinking God's got something for you to do, but look at your days are slipping away and nothing seems to, he's saying nothing is happening or whatever. Well, I know that's a lie, and that's not true. And because now, in the last probably month or two, I'm feeling that God is preparing. There's something going to happen, you know. How much of it I'll see or whatever, I don't know. But something's going to happen. And it's going to be glorious, but at the same time, it's also going to bring persecution and tribulation. But I think that's what He's preparing us, you know. That's, and you can't stand against that unless you have this Word of God to stand on. I mean, that's the only thing that will give you the foundation to stand. And it's been like things that have been in this Word and then have been shared here, and then especially in the men's meetings on Wednesdays, has really made a profound change in me. I mean, I've prayed things now differently, and it's had an effect on me. It's given, you know, because I'm realizing the strength is not in me. It's in Him. But, you know, you can know that and not call on it when you're tempted, and then you'll fall to the temptation. You have to remember that you prayed it and that you need to ask for it at that moment. Lord, give me the strength to turn this away. Because if you just diddle-dally around with it, all of a sudden it'll get the best of you, you know? You have to incorporate the asking, the wanting His strength to be your, you know, to overtake your weakness. So that's been an integral part of some changes that have happened for me. And that was stuff that was shared in the meetings, you know? And so that's a... It's a real encouragement. Seeing how much more all the different ones are openly admitting they have faults. God's going to use that.
Yeah.
God's going to use that. He's going to build on that. That's going to become something, you know. And seeing how some younger people have had a profound change in their life in the last couple weeks. That's amazing, and it's a glorious thing, and it's a good thing. And so, you know, I thought of the scripture this morning that says, either husband, if you want to stay with your mate, and they're not saved, that you might win them over. And wife, stay with the husband, that you might win him over. You know what? I think that's going to happen. That's going to begin to happen, because that it's when I listen to, and I guess I don't want to use a name at this point, but when I listen to this young woman say where she was, I thought there's no way that can't have a profound effect in that family.
Yeah.
You know, there's just no way. So God is great. Amen.
Ken's prayer here earlier was that as one was ushered away, that the Lord would fill that void with his Spirit, with his truth, with his word. And yeah, that's right. It brought to my mind what Keith had said a few days after Joanne had passed, and it was surprising. You know, I don't know that I have ever seen two people having a nicer time together than Keith and Joanne. Hmm? I don't, certainly not husband and wife, but. Oh, they just so much enjoyed each other. You look at both of their faces. They were just having the time of their life, you know? It was just a pleasure to watch that. Well, Keith, he said a few days later that he saw this as an opportunity to get that much deeper into the Word, into the relationship with the Lord. You know, for one thing, that's not very, I don't know what the equivalent of politically correct is, but wasn't very correct for a grieving husband to say, you know, this isn't exactly what he was saying, but he was saying something like, oh good. You know? It made me think of the scripture that unless you hate your brother and your mother and your father and your wife, I've never seen that. I've never seen anyone fulfilling that injunction. Unless you hate, he's close, you know. You know, I would like to reach the point where the worst thing that could ever happen to me would be an occasion for me to say, oh good. You know, that is, he wasn't saying, oh good, understand. But he was saying it was, he saw it as an opportunity. And that affected me. And it was in the vein of what Ken was praying, that as one is ushered away, let that void be filled by the Lord. And of course, what's better than the Lord, you know? You know. So, anyway.
How soon I'll be able to freely. I think that if anybody knew Joanne, I think I did. And the thing about her is that she wanted people saved at whatever expense that it took. And there are some things happening, and I guess that's kind of what I was talking about. There are some things happening right now that are profound. They're absolutely profound. And it doesn't mean that this is the end of the work that needs that's going to be done in, but there are some things that are happening that are unbelievable. And if she's aware of it and she can be jumping up and down, sorry, than she is right now. I'll tell you about it at some other point, but unbelievable things. I was under the impression that if the Lord came, I was going to go to hell. And it caused me to get serious, you know. And I really prayed. I said, you know, I was afraid that if he comes, I'm done. I'm going to go to hell. And I think that right now is the closest to hell that I've ever felt. But God is overriding that. You know, I wanted to comment on a scripture that Pablo, there's two of them that say almost the same thing. One of them is in 6, was it 17 or 19 or something? And the other one is in 3:16. And in 1 Corinthians. And anyway, and it's funny the way it's worded, because what Paul says, at least the King James, he says, don't you know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? Is that the way it's worded in 6 too? In 3:16, he said, don't you know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? It's like, I don't think most people do. You know what I mean? What is really saying there then? If you knew that, wouldn't you act accordingly? You know what I'm saying? Don't you know you're temples of the Holy Spirit? How is it worded in chapter 6? Huh? Yeah, okay. And a lot of people that are supposedly filled with the Holy Spirit, they don't know it. They don't actually get it. But the point is, if you are, your actions should show it. You know what I'm saying? Any other testimonies? Anything?
Maybe.
Susan.
Really, you don't have to go. Oh, really? You know, you listen to the Lord, and He puts things upon your heart. And sometimes you're not sure, is it what you're thinking, or is it really God? You know, I mean, those are always the struggles, I think. I mean, those are my struggles, hello. I mean, I'm not saying they're your struggles, but, you know, the Lord has just spoken to me over and over again, and this is the time now. We are going to start to see His gifts. We are going to start to, I don't think the word's a benefit, but I don't know what the word is, benefit from all He's given us, that the time is now that we are going to start seeing these gifts.
Yes.
It's not next week, it's right now. Yes. And we need to be praying for people, and people need to be praying for us. And it's just, the Lord is just saying, you know, I promised you guys gifts. They're coming. And all of us need to be prepared, because you ask and you're going to receive. And that's what He's just telling my heart, is that we are those vessels. One of the songs that Quirky played was, let them see you and me. And that's what is going to happen, that we're not going to know necessarily why. We're walking in Walmart and somebody looks at us and goes, wow. And that's what they're going to see. And that's what we all saw in Joanne. And, you know, I had a little talk with her before she passed and said, Joanne, if you can put a word in up there that we want the gifts to not stop. And I said, I don't know if you can, but if you can, you put that in there. You know, and that's, I mean, and that's where it's glory. You know, it's a good thing. You know, so we need to be prepared. Every single one of us, we're just sitting here going, is that going to happen? Is that going to happen? It's going to happen.
Susan, that was about the closest a prophecy that of anything we've had for a long time. And you're right. You're right. It's something's coming, and we can see the evidence of it. I have some testimonies of things that are so profound, and I can't fully appreciate them because of the conditions. But at the same time, I can see what God is doing. You know, it makes me glad that I'm going almost 82. It won't be long. And of course, none of us are really young, except my daughter and her husband and her grandkids. But I just want to make one comment, and we can come up and pray. But I let James use my car a little while Friday night, and then he made a trip with it yesterday. And I want to say that he's the only one that I know of, I mean, unless it was Pablo and Candy or something, that has used my car and not turned the scriptures off. When I turn it back on, they're still playing. And you know what? I like that. Mm-hmm. You know, because I know he's listening to them. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that was a good testimony by Angel the other night, wasn't it?
Oh,
yeah. Whenever it was. Anything else? Let's come up to the front. I'm gonna have Candy share this. I'll leave this on. But that is. No, that's fine. I'll just leave this on. I want you to share about you and Pablo praying for, or no, I guess Pablo was telling me that. Praying for Chad?
Yeah.
His comment. I just want, remember what he said?
Compliment to me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some flowers, so that's kind of what prompted my second conversation with him. And he said, good. And he said, but I still have a lot of, he has balding, and I said, okay, I'm listening to him.